Welcome to the Rainbow Room,
our podcast about writing, representation,
and gay stuff.
This is episode 33, Hacks.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Rainbow Room. I'm here with my special guest, Matt Schneider, and today we will be discussing hacks. So please join me in welcoming Matt.
Oh, thank you. You're too kind. Please be seated.
Yeah. No, keep standing. Keep those claps going. Matt, you are a comedian who lives in LA. And then
yes. Guilty.
Guilty.
Now, I knew what you were about to say next.
Yeah.
I'm also a lawyer. Yes, that was the guilty.
A lawyer. Yeah. A lawyer. Oh, yeah. You're a lawyer, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
You were in a show on Out TV called For the Love of Dilfs.
Correct. A reality show.
Yeah. What was that like being on that show?
Well, I wasn't on it for long. So unlike some people, I had a very good experience. Actually, I was in and out and got very positive feedback from tons of people. Anyone who saw it is like, oh, we wish you were on longer. And I'm like, so was I.
Aww.
So did I wish I was on. So I didn't get it. I don't know. I didn't have any negative experience. I think some people on reality TV fame gets, you know, maybe they're on too long. They overstay their welcome. They get negative backlash from people who didn't enjoy them or they saw something they didn't like. But I don't know, had a very positive experience. I would do it again if any reality TV wants to put me in something.
That's awesome. Yeah, so the premise of the show is that they took a bunch of himbos and a bunch of daddies and
right.
They put them all in a house together. Yeah.
And right, you were supposed to mingle and match up and then the winning couple at the end ideally is going to find happiness and love for the rest of their life together.
Was this your first time on TV?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Definitely reality TV. I guess I was pausing only because I was on like a game show or two.
Well,
as,
oh, really?
Just like random.
Well, yeah, what game shows are
there? One was Celebrity Name Game. I don't know if you know that.
It
was like Craig Ferguson hosted the show. And like Vivica A. Fox was my teammate. so some stupid game show. Like
okay.
It's almost like it wasn't exactly password, but you have to like give each other hints. And so, yeah. And actually, I won more money on that than I did on my reality show. So.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. That's cool. How'd you even get on the reality show?
Just from someone contacted me on Instagram, actually.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a scam. That's
right, no. I mean, they encouraged me to apply. It wasn't like someone said, one of the people who worked for the show.
Okay, cool.
And then I did. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's cool. And they, you got a pretty flattering portrayal on it. People liked you.
Yeah. No, I got...
And they treated you well?
Very well, yes. I had literally zero complaints.
That's awesome.
Anyone watching, I encourage you to do reality TV. No, I don't know if every show is... I would say the Out TV in particular was like very eager to portray all the contestants well.
That's awesome.
Like, I don't think they exploited people. And, you know, I think some reality shows are like eager to just like, oh, let's hide in the drama. You know, who cares how the people look? Let's just make it as entertaining as possible. Whereas I'm telling you, on my season of this show in particular, they left a lot of stuff that would have made for great TV, but that also would have made people look bad.
Really? So they cut some stuff that
yes.
would have made good TV, but they wanted to preserve the...
Exactly. And even with me, I'll tell you because I do stand-up comedy. They said I made a lot of... I don't know if they said... Not off. They said jokes that... could have got me canceled. And I'm like,
really?
They said it was funny. Like, I said very funny things, but they didn't want to include it for fear that I might be canceled. I'm like, I'm very confident in everything I say. Like, you could have, like, I don't, not like I'm running around throwing the N-word around
God,
town.
I hope not.
I'm not doing that, is my point. So I'm saying, like, I don't know what they were in particular.
I was afraid you were going to say that they thought the jokes were bad. Like, ooh, you said a lot of jokes that weren't funny.
No, well, they ended up including, like, very daddish, you know, like, corny jokes. And so in a way, people... No, that's what they included.
So they
made it seem like I'm only, like, capable of, like, very obvious, dumb, stupid jokes. Whereas I felt like a lot of my, like, best material...
Was a little edgier.
Was edgier. And I understand what they were saying. They were worried, you know... I think maybe I don't even get into it, but maybe I was like commenting on like, oh, I guess I wasn't, because one guy liked bears on the show.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to, you're not even asking him, like forcing this on you. So I'm just like, well, I guess I wasn't fat enough for him to like. So I think maybe they consider that.
I see. They wanted to be careful. Yeah.
I think along those lines.
And it doesn't sound like you were saying that from a place of punching down either.
No, exactly. Because this was after I was eliminated.
Yeah.
In a way, I felt like I was already like discarded, so I could like punch up it. Exactly. Yeah. I agree. You never punched as a comedian. I mean, we're going to get into this with Hacks.
Yeah.
About that show. But I mean, I agree. That's like the one thing I think I agree you should never find. People should never find humor in is when you're punching down. It's like, where's the humor in that?
Yeah. I want to ask you questions about comedy, but also about being daddy. You consider yourself a daddy?
I didn't until I was on the show, but then once I see some of the people I'm with, I mean, as compared to other people, I guess. Yes.
And people have been enjoying that. They're like, yay, daddy.
Yeah. Yeah, I never, I mean, I guess it's, I mean, at a certain point, just by age, yes, but still mindset, no, I don't really consider myself that.
You're young at heart.
I'm definitely young at heart, yes.
Yeah, and so your comedy, what's, how's your comedy career been going? What's your approach? How's that all?
Great. I don't know. I mean, well, I'm not yet world famous, in case you didn't know. Unless I am, I don't know it. So maybe I need to change my approach.
Very few people are.
Right, that's true. But all right, not even world famous. Fine, I'm not even nationally comedically famous yet. But there's still time. So maybe I need to change my approach. But at the moment, see, that's why I think I tend to set up a very self-deprecating tone. I think in a way, so that then it allows me to like make, and then I attempt to feel like I could make fun of anyone.
Oh, yeah. So that's kind of your style, self-deprecation.
I think so. But then I've been told sometimes I'm like going too far, and I'm like, well, I know, but I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, it's always so interesting for stand-up, because it's like you simultaneously have to be the alpha in the room. You kind of have to project so much confidence of like, I am in charge here, I own the stage. But at the same time, you're like, and here's all the reasons that you can laugh at me. It's like a very,
right, exactly. It's a tightrope.
Alpha and beta at the same time. It's so funny.
Yes, exactly. And sometimes I think I've been on both sides of going one extreme or the other. Like
Yeah.
So it really is like a fine line to walk, because
fun fact about me, I have a PhD, so I'm Dr. Andrew Steyer, and I never bring it up on stage. Mm. I never.
A doctor in what? Like Dr. Jill Biden or like Dr. Oz?
What specific option for doctor?
Well, I'm saying like a medical doctor.
Dr. Biden or Dr. Oz. I love that.
Right. Well, one's a legitimate doctor. One's like...
Ouch. I have a PhD.
In what, though? I'm saying...
Computer engineering.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you're right. No, you're 100% right. So you're not in either of those categories.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's legit. Not that Jill Biden is not legitimate, but it's just funny when you're like... When she's really just a teacher, but she's like insists on people calling her doctor.
I mean, yeah, you have to work hard for that degree.
True, but there's still like...
Should I insist on people calling me doctor?
No, but for you also, I think yours is more prestigious than Dr. Jill Biden.
Yeah. Well, you can call me doctor from now on.
Deal.
Yeah.
And actually, arguably, Dr. Oz is sort of a quack also, so I don't even know why I was putting him at like a higher threshold than Jill Biden would.
So let's talk about hacks.
Yes. Okay.
So first of all, I'm excited to talk about this after the break, but I'll just say shorthand, I loved it. You recommended this to me.
I did, and I was shocked that you had it. Not that you needed to see it, but more, not even from the gay perspective, honestly, just from the stand-up comedy world.
Yeah.
To me, that was my entry point into it, was because I sort of try out every stand-up show.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, in terms of watching it. And honestly, I don't know if you've recommended any others, but I'd never liked any stand-up comedy shows. I always felt the shows about stand-up comedy were, like, not funny, and they might be okay to watch, but they weren't, like, funny. Like,
yeah, what do you think about Ms. Maisel? That's one that people ask me about a lot.
I thought that started off well, actually. So you're right. Yeah. That was an exception.
I've only seen season one, but yeah.
Season one I thought was really good, and then it got so cartoonish, and I don't know.
In season one, you know, like there's so many, like even in episode one, there's some eye roll moments. Like she goes to an open mic in Vents and everyone loves her and someone takes a picture of her. I'm like, okay, I've never crushed so hard at an open mic that someone is like, oh, we need to get your picture. Like, okay.
And also, I don't know if it was the first episode of that, but one episode, she just storms in and off the top of her head, like does a 10-minute set that like has people rolling in the aisles cheering.
Oh, God, you know, like I
don't even think Chris Rock has ever done that. You know,
yeah,
like.
Yeah. But yeah. So how did you find out about Hacks?
Literally, I I think I discovered it before, and just because I had seen a trailer about like, maybe because also to me it looked like, I thought it was actually like a biopic of Joan Rivers, actually, who used to be one of my favorite stand-up comedians. And they claim it's not, because I guess they don't want to pay her royalties, but in a way, it's really Joan Rivers' life.
Really?
I mean, they claim it's not, but...
What makes you say that?
Because Joan Rivers is the only comedian to do QVC, the only woman comedian to host... I mean, I don't know if you've seen other episodes of Hacks, but in the main character, Jean Smart, is also a host on QVC. She was the first woman to be a substitute host for The Tonight Show, which Joan Rivers was. Joan Rivers performed in Las Vegas, which this woman does also. She has one daughter in the show, which Joan Rivers did as well.
Wow. I didn't catch any of that. That's wild.
Yeah. But I think because they don't want to pay like royalties or make it like the Joan Rivers story, they claim it's like based off of multiple women.
TTT. I love that. Yeah.
But to me, Joan Rivers was definitely the funniest woman of all time. And I think maybe one of the funniest stand-ups of all, in my opinion. So that was actually, now that I think about it, that was like more my entry point initially.
Yeah. For me, I follow Meg Statler on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. So I didn't even know. I only know her after seeing her on the show, but a lot of people know her.
From the Hi, Gay.
Yeah. I don't even know. To this day, I still don't even know anything about her other than her being on Hacks.
Oh, wait, have you not seen Hi, Gay?
No.
Oh, my God. It's gay lore. You have to see it.
Okay. I don't even know what it is.
Oh, my God. I'm showing it to you at the break.
But what, it's like a video YouTube?
Yeah. Oh my God. All my listeners are going to be so shocked that you don't know this. You're showing your daddy age.
Okay.
Maybe only.
Oh, because it's TikTok. Is that?
Yeah. It was like an Instagram, Twitter, TikTok thing. Yeah.
Yes. To be honest, I'm not on maybe that is my daddiness. Is like, I feel like TikTok is like beneath my age range, quite frankly.
I'm so curious what your age is though, but I'm never going to ask a lady that.
Fair enough. I'm not going to tell.
But yeah, Meg Statler, I just think is so funny, and okay. So I think she was posting clips, or other people were posting clips of her because they also think she's funny. So literally, all I had seen of the show was
clips of her,
clips with Kayla. Which, okay. If that's all you've seen, it gives you a very different idea of what the show is,
right? Because
it looks like it just takes place in an office. So I thought it was an office show,
right?
And so when I saw Hacks on Max, I like saw the thumbnail. I was like, is there more than one Hacks? I don't think this is the right show. So that's literally like the only reason I hadn't watched it initially.
Yeah, honestly, even in the first season, I don't even think she's in every episode. Like because she became such a fan favorite, she now is. In the third season, she's in every episode.
Oh, but, really? They put her in more episodes?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Oh, that's she.
But in the first season, so she was just like, you know, recurring, I think.
Yeah. Ugh. All right. Well, shall we watch the show?
I guess, why not, if you insist.
Let's watch the show! At this point, we watch Hacks.
A hack comedian needs a young writer to freshen up her act.
And the young comedian, we don't remember any of these characters' names.
I know, what is it like?
The young comedian can't get work because of a controversial tweet, and so she's forced to take on this only job that's available to her, which is to help out this old comedian who also doesn't want help, but the manager kind of swindles the situation into happening.
And they both learn from each other.
And we're back.
Hello.
Woo! Okay, so as I already kind of spoiled in the first part, I loved this show. Oh my God, I loved it so much.
I did too.
I've only seen season one, so this is just me having seen season one. But I watched it pretty quickly, considering you didn't tell me about that show that long ago. You're like, oh, let's do this one.
Wait, and you did finish the whole season?
Yeah, all of season one.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah. Oh, it's super good.
I think it's great all through season three, even, actually.
Yeah. People were telling me it's pretty good. Yeah.
So, buckle up. You got a long way to go of good comedy to come.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think it is the best comedy on TV right now, I would say.
Ooh,
easily.
Strong words. That's awesome.
I mean, I was a fan of Curb Your Enthusiasm also, but that just ended, and I thought it didn't have a great final season. So, other than that, I don't even know what comes close, to be honest.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So what was your... What really stood out to you about this show?
I think... To be honest, I think as a stand-up comedian, maybe you could relate, but I was hinting at before, to me it's the best show about stand-up comedy also, because I think a lot of shows, Maybe I'm clueless, oblivious. Like, because a lot of shows about stand-up comedy paint this picture that, like, comics are, like, sad off stage and they only are, like, funny. You know, they turn it on when they get on stage, but that they have, like, a depressing, horrible existence off cam. You know, Louis C.K. or the Crashing. I don't know if you saw that HBO show about stand-up comedy also. I don't know. I've just never seen a good, funny show about stand-up comedy. And to me, even though there's like moments of like drama and emotion in Hacks, I feel like it's always funny. And it's like even Jean Smart, the main character, is just a funny person on and off stage. It's not like she saves the jokes for when she's on stage. She's very funny with all her assistants. She makes fun of her writer, her co-star all the time. You know, it's a running joke that she says she has big hands and she dresses horribly. Like, she is a lesbian, but she, like, comments about how she has no fashion sense, which I guess lesbians don't really have. I don't know.
Is this the kind of stuff they were cutting out of the Dill show?
Maybe. Like,
all
right. Well, it's funny because it's true. I don't know. Is there any lesbian fashion icon? I'm not a fan of... A fashion. I was about to say lesbians. No, lesbians.
Oh my God.
I'm fine with lesbians. It was a joke.
Fine with them.
I don't mind them.
No, we love lesbians.
Well, I'm not lining up to have lesbians to date lesbians. Is my point.
Yes, that's. I think the world. I think they.
And they're not lining up for me either. It's a double edge non street.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm mixing metaphors here. Yeah, but. The main Hannah, the writer, is the funny thing is she starts off the show. I didn't even remember this until I rewatched it. She starts off the show by claiming to be bisexual. Mm-hmm. By season three, she's full blown lesbian. Like I don't that bisexual.
Oh, spoiler! I'm spoiling the bisexual era.
Okay, did she end the first season still bisexual? I don't remember.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, she's lesbo now. Watch out, ladies. I think in real life, the comedian is lesbian. Also, or I don't know. Maybe she.
Yeah, no, I looked this up. So.
Hannah Einbender. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. How do you say her name? Einbender?
Hannah Einbender? Einbinder?
Yeah. So she's openly bisexual
yes.
in real life. Which is cool.
And fun fact, she's the daughter of SNL cast member Lorraine Newman. There.
What?
I brought some facts with me.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's
you cool. know that cast. You know her, right? That I don't know if you know that, but she was a. Older SNL cast member,
oh.
So she's got funny genes.
So she's
in the family,
interacting with older women comedians.
Old hacks, yeah.
Old hacks, wow. and then another really cool thing. So first of all, just to give a shout out to the creators, it's created by Lucia Aniello, Paul Downs, and Jen Statsky. And another fact we both noticed is that Paul Downs, one of the creators, is also. In the show as a
right.
manager.
As their agent, I think.
As their agent, yeah. He's great, oh my God.
Yeah.
Is that character gay? I thought that character was gay when I first watched episode one.
I know, he's not, no.
Oh.
You know why I think he's funny? Because honestly, again, not to make this all about me, but he acts the way I think, like, I don't think he's necessarily like an actor, but if you've seen interviews with him, he acts exactly like that in real life.
Oh, I love that.
So his interviews are funny. Like,
oh, perfect.
And that's the way they should be. And so in a way, that's why I feel like I could be a good actor too. I feel like I'm arguably naturally somewhat humorous. So like to me, it's just, if you just act yourself sometimes, you could be funny. So I'm in my mind. Or if you look at him, he's really just like acting the way he acts in real life.
That's awesome. And
but he's not gay in real life, so I don't even know what the point of that little diatribe was. He's actually married to one of the, you know, the three creators of the show. So two of them are married.
The character isn't gay either, though, is he?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
He's not because there's a on again, off again flirtation with him and his assistant.
With Kayla?
Yeah.
Is it on again? Does he flirt back?
You're right. It's not on. I mean, fine. It's not on again, off again. It's a one-way flirtation, right?
Oh, my God.
So I don't think it would be weird if she's flirting with him the entire time and he's gay. You know what I mean?
Like that last episode where she books a bed for the both of them. Oh, God.
Yeah.
And he's, like, trying to get them to get a cot.
Right. So that's an ongoing thing throughout the three seasons is her, like, comically trying to flirt with him and him... rebuffing her advances.
Yeah. So let's talk about the gay representation in the show.
Yes.
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Like specifically, I can speak to the gay male experience, but it's like, it feels very real. And both roles are played by actual queer people. So Carl Clemens Hopkins is non-binary, they, them. He plays the COO. And then John Sibilli plays the water guy.
Right.
I love Johnny Sibilli. He's in the Queer as Folk reboot, which is where I first saw him.
Oh, okay. And that's more recent, isn't that? Or is that...
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like Hacks is recent, but it's probably just the latest seasons that are recent.
Okay.
I've only been hearing about it recently, but Queer as Folk reboot was like 2 years ago, I think.
Okay. Yeah, so this is Hacks' third season, so it was three... So simultaneous, but...
Yeah, have you seen him in anything else?
Yes. No, maybe not.
But he's great.
Yeah, no, very good.
So cute. Too.
Yes.
Yeah, I would love to play opposite with him one day. Actually, I would love to get him on this podcast.
So oh.
Watch what I say. Johnny Sibilli, please come on my podcast, even though I'm openly thirsty for you on this episode.
Watch out.
No, let him. I'll be professional, I promise.
Yeah, because he's not in the next two seasons as much, honestly. So I don't want to get your hope.
Okay. But yeah, let's talk about that. So,
but yeah, the main, the her COO, what's his name?
Oh, God.
On the show. I know, I forgot the character's name.
You have your phone on you.
He has the ongoing, he's like, he has an ongoing gay male storylines, that, you know, that representative of the gay male experience, arguably.
Yeah, it's little things like how he uses Grindr and like
right.
opens it looks, and it's like, I think it's actually Grindr too. They don't use like a substitute.
Right. And then in addition to him, because I mentioned the main character is playing a character who sort of resembles Joan Rivers in a way, but so she, throughout this multiple seasons, she constantly says her gay fans, she has a lot of gay male fans. And then, whatever, I don't know if it's... But there's a funny episode in the second season where she goes on a gay cruise, eager to find... She's like, oh, my gays will love me there, right? And then she shows up and her agent didn't tell her it's like a lesbian cruise.
Oh.
And then it's one of the best episodes, and it's all the lesbians hate her. So it's actually fun. Like, it's a totally different clientele for whatever reason. Like, lesbians... I think it's accurate also, not to keep harping on lesbians, but I think lesbians and gay men have totally different senses of humor.
Well, they can be, they can be very different crowds. You
yeah.
know?
I think in reality, I'm just saying the show, I think, represented that well, and I've come across it. I don't know if you think the same.
Yeah. I've done shows when I opened for Rob Anderson, that was okay. a room full of gay men. All those men were gay.
Mm.
But a lot of these queer shows that I get to do, oftentimes they're mostly either like it's a lot of female presenting or women, basically queer people, and then I'm usually one of the only men. And so the audience ends up reflecting that too.
Mm.
It's like, oh, I'm performing for a lot of lesbian women. And different jokes work differently for those two crowds.
Exactly. Yes. That was my only point.
Yeah. And they're both completely different from straight crowds too, you know, like not completely
very
different.
True.
Obviously there's a lot of humor the whole world shares, but those crowds do play like differently for sure.
Right.
And then another really cool fact is that Pat Regan is one of the writers, and he's a gay stand-up comedian just a comedian in general, but he's hilarious. He was on Z-Way, too. He has a great episode on Do you watch Z-Way?
No.
Oh, by the way, I showed Matt during the break. I showed you the Hi Gay video.
Oh, yes. Of, what's her name again?
Meg Sally.
Meg's, yes. Yes, very funny.
Yeah,
I've heard she's a funny stand-up comic. The funny thing, also, Jean Smart is just an actress. She's not actually a stand-up comedian. But Hannah, her writer, is a stand-up comic. And then Meg is a stand-up comic also. So I feel like,
the actresses?
Yeah, the two actresses are legitimate stand-up comedians as well. But Jean Smart is just portraying a stand-up comedian.
And doing
amazing, yes.
Yes. So I think the Emmy nominations just came out yesterday morning.
Yes, and she's obviously nominated, but she actually, I think, won both every year she's been nominated so far. I think she's now 2 years straight winning.
Yeah. So it's a timely time to do this show, because it is getting Emmy
Yes, of course. And renewed for season four, so also, it's coming, I think also, inside scoop, if anyone cares. I think I heard an interview where they envision this being a 5-season show. And luckily, because of the awards it gets, it'll get the runway to do it. Because unfortunately, I don't think it gets that. It's not like highly rated, quite frankly. So maybe this podcast will help shove viewers towards it. I don't think so. But honestly, it's partially because it's like on Max as opposed to HBO. It's like, there's a whole weird dichotomy between HBO shows and Max shows, and people get confused and it's hard to find it.
Oh. I thought HBO was Max now.
Well, it ain't. So I think a lot of people are confused by that. Okay, we're still on. I think what you just said is what has had people confused, and that's why it hasn't gotten the viewership I think it deserves.
Interesting.
Yeah, okay, I think as of like as of next year, it'll be finally merged completely. I think they're doing away with Max only shows.
Oh, weird. Okay,
but up until now, even this past season, Hacks was not on HBO. It was only on Max.
Okay.
You know, because a lot of people, older people, still don't have stream. Some people just have cable and then just pay for cable. They don't pay for streaming services.
Interesting.
Not to get into the weeds of streams.
No. I mean, I think if you're going to get into the weeds about the way the entertainment industry is right now, this is the place to do it. Because stuff is so top of mind, especially when it comes from like queer media and being seen in the mainstream. So if this is somehow being like not blocked from the mainstream,
it is.
It's good. That's such a shame.
I know, but I wouldn't blame it on the queer stuff because honestly, it was a lot of weird shit. Like Peacemaker, I don't know if you saw that show with John Cena. That was also just on Max.
Yeah.
Although not many other shows were, so I don't know why. Because then they like The Last of Us was an HBO show. Oh, that was a gay. Did you do that? That had a lot of gay episodes. The Last of Us, yeah. The zombie show.
Yeah. I don't know if we've actually covered it yet.
Okay, you should.
Need to, yeah.
So that was an HBO only show. God bless. And then as a result of that, got way more attention. You know, whatever's on HBO proper gets way more attention than what's on Max.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, maybe with this podcast, we're pushing the energy towards getting Hacks onto regular HBO.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it yet, go watch it.
Right, subscribe to Max, and then because you can't watch it, you gotta get it on Max. Still,
it's honestly, a laugh a minute. You're right. She's funny off stage and on. The dynamic they have is funny, and it also feels very real and believable. Like the reactions of the people feel so real.
Right.
There's a couple of really freaking dark moments too.
I know, and right, and they play it for seriousness. You know, there's that episode in the first season where this guy's like in love with her, spending all his money on her, and then kills himself.
It's crazy.
And it was like, that's the reason why he was like, he knew it was his last day on Earth, so he was just like...
Yeah, and you have just enough foreshadowing about it that when it happens, you're like, you know it's him basically before it even it's revealed.
And also, they do it so skillfully that even though it's so sad, it's also like somewhat... funny in a way that
they do give the moment its justice though.
Yeah,
like when she the music they play when she's going up to her room, it was like the most emotional part of the whole season.
Yeah.
I think is like her discovering that, and there's little signs when he like casually says that he's blown $60,000, and then he gives that foreshadowing hint of like, oh yeah, sometimes life clears a path for you and you jump. And you're like, oh, I hope not, you know.
Right.
And so, oh my gosh. And her talking about it afterwards, yeah.
Right. You know, that's why, to me, it's not just for chuckles either. I mean, it's like it's a good show. It's emotional, but at the same time, you're laughing the whole time. What more do you want from a show?
Yeah.
Come on, people.
It reels you in right with the first pilot when she's like, when they're fighting, basically, and this is when she's about to get the job, and she's like, oh, do you need to collect urine from me so you can test my blood? Oh, I'll just leave a stool sample on your lawn.
Exactly. And she makes fun of the couch that Liberace had sex on or something.
And then Gene Smart's like, no, actually, he enjoyed the couch a lot. He was here. Such a flex.
Right. No, it's really... And also, again, each season is completely different. So it's... That's why it's all... It's really... It's like they're not repeating their... Shtick. Yeah. But it's not, it's not spoiling any, but in the season two, they go on the road. So instead of like being in Las Vegas the whole time, they're like traveling on the road. In the third season, she's like pursuing trying to get a new job. I won't spoil it, but it's, so it's a totally different dynamic also. Whoa. And then the fourth season, which hasn't happened yet, it's going to be a completely new show also because of something that happens in the third season.
Okay. So what's your favorite moment of Hacks?
Of your first season? Of the first season?
Yeah.
I think... I'm trying to think... I guess... Was the first... I don't know why to me it stood out as just being hilarious when she needed the phone unlocked. Because she left the voice message where she like cursed her out and she wanted to delete it. And so she has the idea that, you know, the phone is locked. But you need her face. The writer needs the face of her boss to unlock the boss's phone to delete the message that she left. And so she comes up with the idea that she'll go to Madame Tussauds Wax Museum to use the fake face of her boss. And it works.
That was okay. For me, well, I laughed.
And so I thought that was really funny and creative.
I laughed out loud when she was trying to use, like, her boss was sleeping and she's trying to use it on her, and she just drops the phone on her.
All right, that was right. Right, so that whole episode, I mean, just that plot line was very funny.
Yeah, I think the pilot was so good. I love the manager in that first scene, just being like, handing over a tissue and being like, please wipe your tears, like, that chair's new. And well, I'm really excited. I'm excited that this show had I guess we should talk a little bit more about the queer representation, because I think those characters are treated with a lot of respect. I think the relationship feels real and fun and funny, and it was cool that both actors actually were queer, and that they were able to like portray these roles, I think, with like, it just super believable, you know.
Right.
That was refreshing to see, and also cool that they got an actual bisexual actress to play the bisexual character.
Right, and also I love that like Jean, the main character, the woman, the comedian, is not like on board with or not understanding bisexuality or gay people. And then in a way, it's like the whole season is like opening her eyes to it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Not that she's like a homophobe, but she's just, you know, dismissive of... Well, she's not that because her assist, you know, her CEO, but I guess... But whatever, that's the dynamic. You need her room for the character to grow.
Yeah. It touches on some important topics.
Yeah.
Cool.
But yeah, so in a way she like grows even through multiple seasons. You'll see like she becomes more of an ally.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Even though she was out, I mean, she knew her gay fan base was like.
Sure. But yeah, I mean, even people who are allies, there's a lot to learn, right?
Yeah, and definitely.
Even people who are supportive, it's totally possible for them to have ignorances. I'm sure we've all experienced that with people in our lives.
Right.
Like, oh yeah, you support me, but you have some stuff to learn.
Right.
Yeah. So let's go into final thoughts.
Okay.
What are your final thoughts that you'd like to tell our audience about this show?
Just encourage people to watch it. Maybe if we get some spotlight on it, maybe they'll bring us on doing stuff like, I don't, you know, as stand-up comics. You know, there could be a show. You know, they did a show in Palm, you know, in one of the episodes in the later season. They go to Palm Springs Pride.
Oh my God.
So maybe they end up doing a show in LA where they need gay stand-up comics. So it would be great if the two of us could be guest stars.
Oh my God, please book us on the show.
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah, because we're both very funny stand-up comedians. Gay. Yes. Well, speak for yourself. No, we're both.
My final thoughts. Gosh, I have so much praise for this show. I think the acting... Okay. I have so much praise for this show. I think the acting is incredible. I think the writing is incredible. I think the jokes are funny. I think the poignant moments are poignant. Not only is each episode good individually, but I think the cohesive storyline is really good. It was hard to stop watching. It was really, really good. I always wanted to know what happened next. And even through the most serious moments and the most dramatic moments, it always found ways to keep making me laugh. And I give it an A+.
I agree. A+. And I think you hit on something which I forgot to mention also. I think the writing in particular is so good. And I think it's because they allow for like alternates in a way. You know, when they're filming, I think they do scenes where they're just filming multiple takes with different versions of jokes or other things.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because I've seen, I don't know where you're watching, but I think on YouTube they have like a behind the scenes of each episode.
Oh, cool.
You know, like a 5-minute little like interview with the crew. That's why I saw, come to think of it, that's how I knew the agent is like funny off when he's not acting also. He's like, you know, they're interviewing the creators and in a way he's just like him. He's just, oh, it's like the agent talking about the show, but it's really just him. And so they discuss the process of making each episode.
Okay. And what is this process?
Well, they say like they have stuff written, but at the same time they'll be like, oh, you know, you guys can try alternate lines, you know, we'll. And I don't necessarily say if they're giving the credit to the actors who are doing it. I think there's writers on the set who are like throwing out alternate lines.
I wouldn't be surprised if Meg Statler's.
I was just about to say, though, as I said that, though, they have said multiple times that her in particular, she's throwing out alternate lines.
Oh, my God.
And the only time, I mean, they've said that before, but they showed one. It's actually the very last episode of the third season where they show alternate things she did, and it was very funny.
Oh, my God.
Like, they literally had, like, they said she went on almost like a tangent that was so funny, but they couldn't keep it all in.
Oh, my God. Check that out.
Yeah.
Cool. Also, yeah, shout out to the writers. Other than the creators who we've already mentioned, you have Andrew Law, Catherine Kearns, Pat Regan, who we've already mentioned, Samantha Riley, and Ariel Carlin. So great job to them. Another director that we didn't mention is Desiree Akhavan. So all around, I think it's a really rock star team. And there's so many great actors in this, too, that we haven't mentioned. But yeah, really great work. And I'm excited to see the rest of the seasons.
Yeah, there's other comics that come do guest star roles.
Okay.
There's a roast episode also. I mean, there's funny things.
I have stuff to look forward to.
Yeah.
Matt, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. Yes. Yeah. And stay tuned. You've inspired me to resurrect my podcast. It's called Worst Week Ever at Worst Week Ever on Instagram. So stay tuned for that. And I'm at Schneider Factor on Instagram. So there you go.
Schneider
Factor.
Hey.
And leave off the last R for nothing. You need it. No, I don't know. That's part of my name. Schneider Factor.
Awesome. Well, thank you everyone so much. And until next time, bye.
So long.
That's all for this week. If you like the podcast, the best way you can support us is by recommending us to others. You can also subscribe to us and rate us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube by searching Rainbow Room Podcast. You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Rainbow Room Podcast and Twitter at Rainbow_Room_. Thanks for listening. See you next week.